Welcome, welcome, and good evening, little ones, to our video and study for today. Ward Green with you. Our study for today is from the Wild Road article. No, it's not. It's not. Am I recording? Yes? Good. It's from Born and Raised, of course. Remember, we did the Wild Road article. That was quite an experience to do that article. And this is the Born and Raised article, chapter 9, paragraph 8 today. It's late today. I hope you're having a wonderful evening. It's good to see you. Of these business documents from Babylon that we mentioned previously, for the time period BCE 627 to 539, roughly the time period of the father of Nebuchadnezzar down until the conquest of Babylon by Cyrus under the king Nabonidus of Babylon, they are believed to number 50,000. From these datable tablets, it is estimated that every single year is covered by as many as hundreds of them. So that then every year of every king is known. Over 10,000 of these tablets from the time period from Nabopolassar, that's the father of Nebuchadnezzar II, to Darius, BCE 627 to 485, 485 being the end of the reign of Darius, were published in textual form before 1991. Over 10,000 of these tablets, meaning there can simply not be any doubt that Cyrus conquered Babylon, but 48 years after the destruction of Jerusalem by Nebuchadnezzar. It was a few years after Cyrus took Babylon that those 50 years of obscurity mentioned by Josephus were ended for the Jewish temple as the Jews moved to rebuild it. But Josephus can never be considered so trustworthy as the Babylonian business documents, so great in number. By both is the Neo-Babylonian chronology made certain, and so we accept conventional chronology in this time, or at that time period. The certainty of secular history is what enables us to check the fulfillment of prophecy with great accuracy. So we need secular chronology in order to check on fulfillment of prophecy. Therefore, it is important to have accurate chronology. Conventional chronology is not divided for this period of time as it is for earlier time periods, and is also in perfect harmony with Scripture, as we showed above. The conventional chronology during this Neo-Babylonian period is not in contest. It's not disputed. And a good part of why is because of these business documents from Babylon. Our scripture for today, little ones, is Ecclesiastes chapter 7, verse 3. Better is vexation than laughter, for by the crossness of the face, the heart becomes better. Better is vexation than laughter. Imagine that. It's quite something. Judges chapter 15. We're continuing on with the story about Samson, his historic adventures during the time of the Philistine domination from 1152 to 1112 BCE. And during that time, and now Samson, this sometime after 1132 BCE, probably when Samson is about 20 years old or more when he's at his peak of his physical strength. And it came about after a while, it says. Judges 15, verse 1, in the days of wheat harvest, that Samson went visiting his wife with a kid of the goats. So he said, I will go into my wife in the interior room. And her father did not allow him to go in. But her father said, I really said to myself, you must unquestionably hate her. Hence I gave her to your groomsman. Remember, his wife had revealed the riddle and had cajoled him and pressured him to reveal it to her. Is not, he continued, her father continued, is not her younger sister better than she is? Let her, please, become yours instead of the other. However, Samson said to them, this time I must be free of guilt against the Philistines, in case I am dealing with them to their injury. And Samson went his way and proceeded to catch 300 foxes and to take torches and turn tail to tail and put one torch between two tails right in the middle. With that he set fire to the torches and sent them out into the fields of standing grain of the Philistines. Thus he set on fire everything from sheaf to standing grain and the vineyards and the olive groves. And the Philistines began to say, who did this? Then they said, it was Samson, the son-in-law of the Timnite, because he took his wife and then gave her to his groomsmen. At that, the Philistines went up and burned her and her father with fire. In turn, Samson said to them, if you do like this, there is nothing but for me to avenge myself upon you, and afterward I shall quit. And he went smiting them, piling legs upon thighs with a great slaughter, after which he went down and began to dwell in a cleft of the crag Etam. Later, the Philistines came up and camped in Judah and went tramping about in Lehi. Or Lehi. Then the men of Judah said, why have you come up against us? To which they said, it is to tie Samson that we have come up, to do to him just as he has done to us. So 3,000 men of Judah went down to the cleft of the crag of Etam and said to Samson, do you not know that the Philistines are ruling over us? So what does this mean that you have done to us? Then he said to them, just as they did to me is the way I have done to them. But they said to him, it is to tie you that we have come down, to give you into the hand of the Philistines. At that Samson said to them, swear to me that you yourselves will not assault me. And they went on to say to him, no, but we shall merely tie you, and we will give you into their hand, but we shall by no means put you to death. Accordingly, they bound him with two new ropes and brought him up out of the crag. He, for his part, came as far as Lehi, and the Philistines, for their part, shouted exultantly at meeting him. And Jehovah's Spirit became operative upon him, and the ropes that were upon his arms came to be like linen threads that had been scorched with fire, so that his fetters melted off his hands. He now found a moist jawbone of a male ass and thrust his hand out and took it and went striking down 1,000 men with it. Then Samson said, with the jawbone of a male ass, one heap, two heaps, with the jawbone of a male ass I have struck down 1,000 men. And it came about that when he finished speaking, he immediately threw the jawbone out of his hand and called that place Ramath Lehi. Now he became very thirsty, and he began to call on Jehovah and say, it was you that gave this great salvation into the hand of your servant. And now shall I die of thirst, and must I fall into the hand of the uncircumcised? So God split open a mortar-shaped hollow that was in Lehi, and water began to come out of it, and he proceeded to drink, after which his spirit returned and he revived. That is why he called its name En-Hakkore, which is in Lehi down to this day. And he continued to judge Israel in the days of the Philistines 20 years. So there we see that it was the Philistines really who were judging Israel, because we saw that the men of Judah, had said to him, "Do you not know that the Philistines are judging Israel at this time?" You know, they that they're ruling over us. It's in verse 11. The Philistines are ruling over us, they said to Samson. So Samson was a judge, but he was not a judge in the sense that that they had peace in the land, or that there was not oppression, because there was oppression from the Philistines for 40 years, from 1152 to 1112 in the genealogy. And so this fits very well with the chronology that we have for the time period. It's perfect, because Samson fits right in the 20 years from 1132 to 1112. And we discussed it before about where Eli was the judge too, from about 1173 to 1132, those 40 years. Judge Eli fits very well into those years also. And Samuel begins to judge in 1112. So that's the end, though, of Judges chapter 16. Is it 16 or 15? I can't read that right now. Hang on a sec. Can I see that here? Judges 15. Yeah, 15. Okay. It's the end of Judges 15. We've got now 1 Timothy chapter 4. Paul writing to Timothy, "However, the inspired utterance says definitely that in later periods of time some will fall away from the faith, paying attention to misleading inspired utterances and teachings of demons by the hypocrisy of men who speak lies, marked in their conscience as with a branding iron, forbidding to marry, commanding to abstain from foods which God created to be partaken of with thanksgiving by those who have faith and accurately know the truth. The reason for this is that every creation of God is fine, and nothing is to be rejected if it is received with thanksgiving, for it is sanctified through God's word and prayer over it." He's talking about food, though, right? Like when Jesus said, you know, nothing is defiled except it's not what goes into your mouth that defiles a man. He was talking about food, though. He wasn't talking about inhaling something, as he said, as he explained, because it passes into the intestines. So Jesus was talking about food and not inhaling something. And so also Paul is saying foods in verse 3. Right, nothing's to be rejected if it's food. In other words, by the way, I've started consuming calcium again. And I've even taken some vitamin D, because I found that I really needed some vitamin D. I really believe that I was deficient in that, but I have to be very careful how much vitamin D I take. But I think I nearly overdosed on magnesium. I was taking so much magnesium, it was immense, because magnesium doesn't work properly without calcium. And I was not taking any calcium, hardly any. And also I was taking vitamin K2. I'm not sure what effect that had, but I thought my heart was getting an irregular heartbeat. That could be magnesium, though, because magnesium relaxes the muscle, and the heart needs calcium in order to beat the heartbeat. And I wasn't taking enough calcium, so I was very concerned about this heartbeat. Last night I seemed to have an irregular heartbeat. Now it's very good, but, and I had this sort of a pain in my chest, too. So it was very close to making a very bad mistake with regard to what I was eating. But now I'm starting to consume some calcium in the form of evaporated milk and some of the other bits that I can get wherever I can get calcium. I'll be trying to get some calcium, but I'll be very careful what my heartbeat is doing and so on. By giving these advices to the brothers, verse 6, Paul wrote to Timothy, you will be a fine minister of Christ Jesus, one nourished with the words of the faith and of the fine teaching which you have followed closely. But turn down the false stories which violate what is holy and which old women tell. On the other hand, be training yourself with godly devotion as your aim. For bodily training is beneficial for a little, but godly devotion is beneficial for all things, as it holds promise of the life now and that which is to come. Faithful and deserving of full acceptance is that statement. For to this end we are working hard and exerting ourselves, because we have rested our hope on a living God, who is a Savior of all sorts of men, especially of faithful ones. Keep on giving these commands and teaching them. Let no man ever look down on your youth. On the contrary, become an example to the faithful ones in speaking, in conduct, in love, in faith, in chasteness. While I'm coming, continue applying yourself to public reading, to exhortation, to teaching. Do not be neglecting the gift in you that was given you through a prediction, and when the body of older men laid their hands upon you. Ponder over these things, be absorbed in them, that your advancement may be manifest to all persons. Pay constant attention to yourself and to your teaching. Stay by these things, for by doing this you will save both yourself and those who listen to you. That's the end of 1 Timothy chapter 4. That concludes our Bible study for today. A lot of good advice in that chapter of the letter that Paul wrote, the first letter that he wrote to Timothy. Chapter 4. In later periods of time, some would fall away. Some will fall away, Paul prophesied. And all of the details of that he gave regarding that we see contained there. Very interesting, and they're all things for us to watch out for, of course. Try to avoid being fooled by those sorts of things that are mentioned there. So, we're up to, I don't know if I'm going to be able to get through this study, or if I'm going to have to take a bathroom break, or I'm not sure. Just forewarning you. But that's the end of the study, so it's all about the next 15 minutes or so. Or we don't even need to go the whole 33 minutes. I guess we could just do a shortened study today. I'm very excited, though. I'm very excited that I can start to eat more normally again, but you know, the problems that I'm having with my the floaters in my eyes, they only occurred, those floaters, once I stopped taking the vitamin K2 and all the calcium. As soon as I stopped that, which I needed to stop because I was dying, you know, I was suffering all kinds of, you know, nausea, loss of appetite, frequent urination, drastically more frequent than what I have now, even though I still have some problem with that. That's not caused by vitamins, it's caused by the valve itself. But the valve that passes water, the last valve prior to the exit from the body. But the other symptoms, oh my goodness, I could barely stand. I could barely walk. I was stumbling, staggering around. I had very low strength, and it was very serious. And I was dehydrated. I drank 4 liters of water every day, and I couldn't talk for 33 minutes without drinking water, maybe, you know, 30 or 40 times during that. I'm not sure how many times I drank water while I was talking for 30 minutes. I had all these incredibly bad symptoms, you know, worse and worse symptoms, That was from vitamin D toxicity, and then the calcium, together with vitamin D, becomes toxic. Calcium itself becomes toxic when it's given with too much vitamin D. If a very large amount of vitamin D. I'm not talking anything small or anything close to the normal amount of vitamin D that people take when they're supplementing with vitamin D. I was taking hundreds of thousands of units, international units of vitamin D every day. Maybe even up to 1 million at one point, just because I was trying to get more vitamin K2, the MK4 liquid form, which had the vitamin D in it, and I wasn't paying attention to the amount of vitamin D. I really wanted to take more vitamin K2 to find out what would happen. And the only way I could do it was to use the liquid form, because I didn't have the solid. I mean, I couldn't swallow. I had vitamin K2 in the solid form, but I couldn't swallow that much. In solid form, I had to take it in liquid if I wanted to try increasing the amount. And when it's taken in the liquid form without going to excess with the vitamin D that's in there, I experienced during that time that I was taking the vitamin K2, or even before I found the liquid, even before I discovered liquid K2, I was taking the solid form of K2 in the gel cap with vitamin D, but I was taking maybe 6,000 units of vitamin D at a time that way, at the most, but I was taking it more than, sometimes more than once a day at that point. But originally, I probably only took about 3,000 or 4,000 units of vitamin D every day with the K2, which is several hundred micrograms of K2 at the same time in the MK7 form. That was the first form I tried with K2, and I had unbelievably high, incredibly high, phenomenally high energy. I didn't need to sleep much. I had great energy all the time. I was in great health. And I knew that was because of the K2 that allowed me to do all those things, to feel as good as I did. But I never really went beyond a few thousand units of D at that time, and, you know, per day. But then I gradually thought, well, I could take the K2. I needed more K2 sometimes because of my arthritis. It seemed to help a lot, but so I would take six of them, which meant 6,000 vitamin D units, and I didn't realize that 6,000 units might even be a bit much for vitamin D, so at least per day. And I would take it at one time, not just per day, but 6,000 units at one time of vitamin D with the K2 that I was taking, which would be about 600 micrograms or 700 micrograms. Like 120 micrograms per gel cap of the K2. So I was taking large amounts of, trying to get more K2, that is, trying to get more amounts of K2. But at that time, I was taking it always with vitamin D. But then I later got the solid form capsules and so on, forms of vitamin K2 that didn't have vitamin D in it. That's what I've been taking ever since I have been detox oriented, detoxing from vitamin D. I've stopped taking all vitamin D ever since August 27th or so. Shortly after that, August 28th or 29th, I stopped taking all vitamin D and all calcium, and now I have to start taking some calcium again, but very small amount of vitamin D. Every 27 days or something, the vitamin D decreases by one half. It's the biological half-life in the body of vitamin D. So, yeah, I'm going to have to take a bathroom break, I think. Or we have to terminate the video. But it's going to be, 27 days before I can reduce the amount of vitamin D by half. But if I've got thousands and hundreds of thousands of units already in my body, I can take 600 units of vitamin D. It's not going to make any difference. You know, in 27 days, if I take 600 units per day, let's say, even 1,000 units for 27 days would be 27,000 units. And that's probably too much to take, right? I can't take that much every day, maybe 600 units. I've got to take a break. I'll be back shortly, I hope, here. Let's see. So, yeah, gotta be very careful with vitamin D. winter time, the body takes a while to adapt. At least my body does, to the different temperature. Colder temperatures cause a different functioning of what I've got working, which is not working normally, but it prevents me from completely voiding my bladder. I can't do that. So that means I have to make more frequent visits to the facilities. Talking about vitamin D, I've got to be very careful how much vitamin D I take, because if I take 27,000 units per month, let's say, right, and half of that would leave my body in a month, roughly, then that's 13,000 that stays in there. Now, if I've still got 50,000 units in my body or more, half of that is 25,000 that's going to leave. So, I mean, if I'm putting in 13,000 and 25,000 is leaving, I'm still going to be having 12,000 net reduction of vitamin D, which is the idea. I want to keep losing my vitamin D, so I want my total internal biological vitamin D to be reduced until it's down to, you know, essentially the right level. And no one probably knows what that right level is either. So that's the other thing I need to try and find out, is how much vitamin D is the right amount to have in the body at all times. What is the right amount? See, that's going to be the fascinating opportunity for discovery there. But, you know, just because I've overdosed on vitamin D doesn't mean that I can't take any vitamin D. Because the form that my body might have already with the vitamin D in the body might be a different form of vitamin D. And my body might not be able to use that form of vitamin D efficiently or at all. So it's because it might be stored in the fat in my body, right? So in order to keep functioning, for my body to function normally, I might still have to take vitamin D, but in a small enough quantity so that I'm not increasing from month to month, or from week to week, from day to day. The amount of vitamin D in my body was way too high, and now I want it to keep dropping down to some optimal level. But right now, I'm not in an optimal... This summer was amazing. I had amazing... I shouldn't say the summer, because it wasn't the summer. I'm talking about after August 27th. After I realized the functioning of my body that returned, functioning of my ability to pass water, it vastly improved. It's not perfect because the valve is damaged, but it was still functioning way better, far better than before, far better. So I could sleep for more than 3 hours now. Last night I had one session of sleep that was more than 3 hours. I had several sleep sessions before I had to get up, you know, and pass water. But it was 3 hours is great, because you can actually get some real sleep, quality sleep, with 3 hours, you know, at a time. That's the end of our study, I think, is it? No, not quite. Well, almost. But, I mean... Everything improved. My ability to sleep improved. The ability to pass water improved. My strength vastly improved. I mean, I could do all sorts of things better after I stopped the toxicity, you know, stopped the excess of vitamin D that I was taking. And the calcium had to be stopped, because it was causing additional massive complications, you know, with the too much calcium in the blood is what happens. But I didn't realize magnesium, you can actually poison yourself with magnesium too. So, and you need calcium for the magnesium to work, so you have to take some calcium in order for your magnesium to not be completely malfunctional and dysfunctional, or whatever you want to call it. If your bowels don't move and you can't get enough magnesium to work in your body to put water into the bowel, which is what magnesium helps to do, then you need some calcium with it. So I took some CalMag solution, 2-to-1 ratio of calcium to magnesium. It's a liquid supplement. I took the liquid supplement CalMag today, bone solution, I think it's called, by Prairie Naturals. But I took that as a supplement today, which really is one way to get your calcium and your magnesium and be very effective in getting the magnesium to work to help you with solid waste passage. So it's October 21st, 2023. The time is 21:16 hours Eastern Daylight Time. I'm Ward Green. I love you very much. And this is, on my behalf, Crow, wonderful, wonderful Hamilton watch, and Cassie, my Casio watch, who are saying in my behalf, bye for now.